Well, this morning we're going to continue in this series, and then I think after today we're going to take a break. We may come back to this later on, but have some with Easter coming, we'll want to move to some different topics. But Christianity 101, laying that foundation of what it means to live as a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. We've talked about especially how the Bible is there, how God gave us his word to guide us, that special revelation from himself. We don't have to wonder, well, what does God think about this? There are some things that are not specific, but usually where there's not specifics, there are what I would call general principles or guidelines that you can extract from. So the word guides us. And that's kind of the head knowledge we get, it starts there. We read our Bibles, we learn what God says, and from there, hopefully it goes into our hearts where we grow, and that transformation takes place inside of us. And then the other side of that is, I love that the analogy here of the head, the heart, and the hands. I know when going, you normally more think of feet, but hands is a little bit more literate, but the idea of serving. Going to serve. We grow to be like Jesus. We're transformed into his image. And then we go and serve like Jesus served. Now, service is an interesting thing. You think about a breakfast, bacon and egg breakfast. What's the difference between the chicken and the pig in a bacon and egg breakfast? Well, the chicken is involved, the pig is committed. And, you know, the old story of the story I heard included the cow. This guy's hungry. Well, I can give him some milk. Well, I can provide eggs. Why don't you provide the bacon? pig is definitely committed in that story. And of course, we've all heard that expression of put your money where your mouth is. And it basically means back up what you say with your actions. It's real easy to say, oh yeah, I agree with that. Well, then are we ready to do what it takes to make those things happen when we say something? And when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, we must back up what we believe by what we do. See, faith inspires action, and as believers, we're to be like the pig, committing our very lives to service for the sake of Jesus. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what Jesus said when he talked about, hey, if you're going to be my follower, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It's not just a involvement, it's a commitment of our very lives to the Lord. Now, according to the New Testament, discipleship is that lifelong process of following Jesus in order to become more like him. And since this is so, we can't just pursue the character of Jesus. That's important. We want to become more like Jesus. But we also have to take on the mission of Jesus and serve others. 1 John 2:6 says this, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So, again, that head, heart's hand graphic, I think I've got it up there. It's the knowing, the growing, the going. What gets in our heads gets in our hearts, and then it extends into us doing what we, living out our faith in him. Now, a healthy approach to discipleship includes both, and this is the thing, it includes both the being and the doing. And I love this expression here. I hadn't heard this before, and I really liked it. It calls for withness, kind of a coined word there, that being with Jesus and our witness, which is going for Jesus. So following Jesus is both personal and interpersonal, our relationship with God. We need to grow in that, but then he sends us out so that through us, others can enter into a relationship with him as well. It encompasses both our beliefs and our behavior. It results in that internal transformation and then our external impact. We receive from God and from others, then we share what we have received. And I like this diagram, this thing of people who influence you. And then in turn, people that you influence. Oftentimes when, especially you get into some of the books in the New Testament, the writings of Timothy, Paul's writings to Timothy and to Titus, they deal a lot with those in leadership in the church. But the truth is, if you have influence on someone, then you are a leader. At least for them. You may not be a leader in the overall, you know, congregation, but you have roles in your life where you insert influence. You have influence on others that you serve in the role of a leader. And God pours into our lives, and you've heard why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea, right? Back in Israel, and it's all salty, and I actually got to float in it at one point. It kind of a neat but a weird experience at the same time. But the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it has no outlet. It only takes in. There's no way, no place for the water to go from it. And our lives can become like that if all we're thinking is, oh, I need more, I need more. I mean, you got to have a way to have an outlet in people's lives. So becoming a disciple is trusting in Christ alone for salvation and following Jesus in order to know him and his teachings, to grow more like Jesus, and to go for Jesus, serving others and making new disciples. We do this by continually opening ourselves up to God's transforming presence and by getting regular input from other disciples. That's the influence. Now we go and make disciples. This is leading others to trust in Christ alone for salvation and to orient their lives around the threefold desire to know Jesus and his teachings, to grow more like Jesus, and to go for Jesus, serving others and making disciples. Again, we do this by serving and giving our lives away as Jesus did. We share with and invest in others the wisdom, truth, experiences, insights, resources, skills, abilities that God has given us. You know, there are times we may feel like we don't have a lot to offer. But I really believe, and I believe this, it's so biblical, that God gives everybody some skill, some ability. There's something in you that God can use to make a difference in the lives of others. And sometimes we may struggle with that. I mean, I don't want this to sound braggadocious or that I'm proud, but because I'm really not. I am just absolutely amazed that God took a kid from the wrong side of the tracks who grew up poor and somehow, through his mercy and his grace, because somebody came and talked to me about Jesus, I gave my life to him, and when he said, serve me, I said yes. And, you know, in some ways it would be wonderful to say, oh yes, I went and pastored churches that grew to thousands, and I can't say that, but I am so humbly grateful to God that now that I've been doing this for a few years, even when we lived in Springfield, one of our kids from Kids Church came to Evangel University, and we were at one of their football games and happened to see her and sat down and talked with her. And it so humbled me and so blessed my heart that she goes, you know, honestly, I don't remember a lot of the things that you taught us in Kids Church, but I know that I knew from that God loved me and Jesus wanted to be a part of my life and that Jesus had a purpose for my life. Thank you for being there for me. See, sometimes we get all caught up with the glamour and the glitz, but I'm always amazed. Even stories like what Don's testimony this morning, I didn't get a phone call in the middle of the night. We have in the past, but that wasn't last night. I don't know everybody you know. I'm not going to be there at your family gatherings. I'm not going to be there when you're hanging out with your friends at the lunch table. But God can use each one of us to somehow be that influence in the lives of others. And the truth is, it really does take a village, in a sense, to raise a child. It takes each of us doing our part. You know, I think Bennett's one of our younger ones. And you think, should the Lord tarry, and all things being equal here, he's had someone who's cared for him as an infant. He's had someone teach him in preschool class. Strangely, it's not going to be too long. He's going to have a kids' church. He's going to have kids' church leaders that are going to speak into his life. Eventually, he's going to have youth leaders that speak into his life, small group leaders, just people that he gets to know here and hears your stories and your example, someone that he talks with in the foyer, serving as a greeter, and he likes to come up and talk to you. Do you know how many people are going to have an influence on that young man's life? By the time, again, should the Lord tarry, he grows up, probably goes off to college somewhere. There's not one of us that can say, mom and dad are the biggest influence, and rightfully so. That's why God puts us in families. We're part of that extended family for him and for everyone that is a part of this congregation. God uses us for that. You have some way to serve the Lord. It may never be something that gets you in front of the congregation. But that's okay, because not everybody's supposed to be in front. But I tell you what, if the things that are supposed to happen in the background, so to speak, aren't happening, it makes it really hard to do what you're supposed to do up front. Just have no sound men show up some Sunday. We love you, Brendan, and Gregory, and Lance, and Victoria, and all those who serve in that way. We'd be a mess. We really would. All right, that wasn't in my notes. That just came from the heart. Embracing Christ's mission to go and make disciples may involve the following. It may not be, every one of these may not be true in your case, but these are some principles that we see that to truly do this, these are things that need to happen. First, there is the rejecting the self-centeredness of our culture and embracing the selfless servant mindset modeled by Jesus. Philippians 2, those first five verses there. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And it goes on to talk about that attitude that Christ had. That we come to recognize that it's not all about me. Sorry, church should not be a Burger King. And I like Burger King, by the way. But and maybe you don't hear it so much, but you remember back when their theme was, have it your way? Because it was all about you as the customer. Well, that's not what church is about. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about making ourselves available to others so that God's grace can flow through us and minister to the lives of others. Second thing, understand that you are saved for a life of good works that match the unique ways God has created or wired you. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. See, that's a beautiful thing. God only not only loves us so much that he had us in mind before the creation of the world. He knew that we were going to be born. He created us with a purpose. He numbers our days. He has a plan for our life. And when we come, especially as we come to know Jesus as our Savior, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has intended for you to be an influence on those around you and people that he brings into your life. Sometimes we're going to be like Philip. Remember the story, Acts chapter 8. Philip's preaching this revival and the Spirit says, hey, go head for the desert. And so he's obedient, he goes, and God brings him into the life of an Ethiopian man who's on his way home after who's been worshiping in Jerusalem. And this one time he gets to talk to this man about Jesus. The man comes to put his faith in Jesus and then goes his way, and Philip goes his way. Sometimes God's going to bring somebody in your life that it's, for lack of a better term, it's kind of a one and done sort of deal. God brings you, crosses your paths. You have that influence for God in their life, and then God moves them on, and you just believe that God has somebody else in store. Think how many people God sent your way before you said yes to Jesus, and even after that, to help you grow in the things of God. Other times, God's going to bring you into a place where you have an ongoing relationship with that, maybe with a coworker, maybe with a fellow student, maybe a family member. You know, sometimes those are the hardest ones. You know, they're family. You can't just give up on them. And you can't not just see them because they're going to be there. And yet you go, you're praying, okay, Lord, help me say the right thing. Help me keep my temper when they say stupid things. Nobody else has that kind of an issue, right? Okay. See, God created us for those things, those relationships, those times when we get to do good for his sake in his name. Third thing, letting your light shine out among neighbors, co-workers, friends by doing those good works in the power of God's Spirit. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That understanding that God, the good things that we do, especially as we do them because we're a follower of Jesus, it's just a way for people, we deflect, you know, when they tell us thank you, we say, well, you're welcome, you know, I'm doing this because I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. And help point them to God by the good things that we do. Next, discovering, understanding, and utilizing your God-given abilities to serve and build up the body of Christ. God, again, works within us in his church. That's part of the reason why we gather together. I mean, truth is, could we all sit at home and watch something on our phones or TVs? And yeah, that's there. But see, God intends for us to be the body of Christ, to gather together for the purpose that God will use the gifts that we have to be a blessing to others. We need people that will pour into the lives of our children and of our students. We need people that have all these different gifts that God talks about. Well, let's read about them. There's several places, but I picked a Romans 12:6-8 passage. It says this, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And the beautiful thing is each of us have those things that when we put all those gifts together, there's that fullness of the ministry of Christ to people. Within our own body that helps us and encourages us. Because the truth is nobody ever walks in here every Sunday and on a high. I don't mean that like a drug high, but in the sense of everything's going great, it's wonderful. Oh, I just love shoveling stuff so much. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, those people that you kind of want to slap and say, did you drink too much coffee this morning before you came to church? Okay, But you know what I'm saying? No one ever comes to church every Sunday that way. There are times that we come and our hearts are heavy. There's some burden that we're carrying. There's something that's going on in our life. Maybe it's not even necessarily a personal thing, but just you got news that, on Saturday that this is going on in your family that, maybe doesn't even live around here, and your hearts are just burdened. And, you've heard the story of the fellow that didn't want to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning. He goes, I don't think anybody likes me there. People are mean to me there. And his mom kept saying, son, you've got to go. And he kept coming up with all these arguments, and she kept saying, son, you've got to go. And he goes, well, why do I have to go, mom? She goes, because you're the pastor. Okay, old story, bad joke. But you know how many times when that happens, often it's not everybody that sees it. And quite honestly, I miss a lot of that stuff because I'm thinking about, okay, we're doing this in worship, and then we have this, and then we've got this going on. And my brain's going like 400 miles an hour in about 30 different directions, sadly, most mornings. But you know, that person in your Sunday school class, that person you sit around, or, they come up, and it's interesting how God brings those people our way, and it may be like you got the smile going, yeah, doing good, and they're going, they'll look at you and going, really? Well, maybe not so good. All right, tell me about it. And it's not like talking to them fixes the problem, but it's like, that person when they say, I'm going to pray for you. They're really going to pray for you. They're going to be the one that sends you that text in the next day or two. Hey, been thinking about you, praying for you. How's that going? Just a thought, Lord, thank you. I don't have to carry this alone. That's the beauty of this. Even the showing kindness that, thank God for kind people. And these are usually the ones that have that gift of hospitality. They notice people. They know how to make them feel comfortable. We need folks like that. Other thing about serving is the idea that we need to get equipped to minister to others. There are certain gifts and ability that God gives us that we're good at. That doesn't mean we still don't need to improve on those and get better at doing this. Sometimes we have the heart for it, but we may not necessarily know how to do it in the best way. So we get equipped, and that's part of our coming together. It's what, hopefully, from the messages, from your small groups, from your own personal study, that you become equipped to minister to others more effectively. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We need everybody doing their part to help us grow and become what God wants us to be. Another thing we need to take into mind is taking the truth, training, and blessings God has given you and turning around investing them in others. We've already kind of talked about that, but a verse for that is 2 Timothy 2:2. You've heard me teach such things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other people who will be able to pass them on to others. That idea that, especially as we look, that recognition that we need to invest in those who are coming behind us, should the Lord tarry. There is that next generation that God is raising up. And sometimes it's easy to look and think, oh, well, there are some amazing young people that God is raising up who their hearts are on fire to live their lives and serve the Lord, and many of them are doing so sacrificially. And that's an amazing thing. But it not only needs to happen in the area of missions many times, but to allow them to have those opportunities in our church. We're going to need a new generation of teachers and small group leaders and worship leaders. And we need to be willing to invest in them. It's part of why part of Kingdom Builders is investing in the next generation. We need to mentor and provide opportunities for the next generations of believers to rise up to be the pastors, teachers, elders, missionaries, worship leaders, all the different ways that we're serving for the kingdom of God to continue to advance. This kind of way of reminder, you know, when we started the Kingdom Builders, we said we were going to have a few Sundays during the year that we would do kind of a big give. Well, our big give for Easter is to fund the project of helping students go to Christian camps this summer. At this point, the Iowa Network is working to have camps this summer, and we want to help students that want to go be able to do so, that the financial side of it is not the reason why they don't go. And I'm still a firm believer in camps. It may mean that not only are we going to give financially, that's our goal is $450. Anything that comes in over that goes just towards other projects and or Kingdom Builders. But the idea is that we can help send kids to camp. It may mean that some of us may need to take a week and, or I don't even know, I haven't got details yet on just what camps are going to be or when they are or how they're going to look this summer. I'm sure it'll be a little different than in the past. But it may be we need not only to invest our dollars, but some time. We may need a couple people to go and say, hey, I'll go with the kids. It's tough if you don't know a lot of, if you're not taking a big group with you, sometimes go to camp and be the only kid from your cabin or from your church in a cabin if you don't know anybody else there. So we're going to work at getting people who can go to camp with our kids for those who want to go. But why is camp important? Well, good, bad, or ugly, the latest statistic that I've heard is about 90% of our students, our youth, and our elementary students that are filled with the Holy Spirit in Assembly of God churches get filled at our camps. Maybe that we need to have more emphasis on the infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit in our churches, but they know over the last several years that this is the case. And part of it may just be the atmosphere. They're focused in on the Lord. You know, they get good teaching on that. But you think about that, 90% of our kids from a Pentecostal church that get filled with the Holy Spirit do so at camp. It's always interesting when I'm in a gathering of ministers and somebody asks the question, how many of you received a call into ministry at the camp? And it's usually a vast majority of them. And even if it's not necessarily to full-time ministry, we've known so many young people that maybe it wasn't a call into what we would consider full-time ministry as a pastor or missionary evangelist or something, but where at camp they talk about God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and they hear from God. Some have said, God wants me to become a school teacher, or God's called me into this occupation, but I'm supposed to do it in such a way that I'm doing it in service for the kingdom of God. So many of them hear from God about that in camps. So that's why we're doing that, so that when they're ready to go to camp this summer, the money is there for us to be able to help them to do so. Part of this service is learning how to give a reason for the hope that is in you, then sharing your own story of how the good news of Jesus has changed your life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we read this. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. Instead of arguing about words and other things, you can go read the context. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. If somebody asks you, why do you go to church? Why are you a follower of Jesus? I hope you thought about it and have a good answer. Now, you're not going to probably, I know I can't answer every question that's been asked of me. A lot of times it's, well, if God's so good and loving, how come he lets all these bad things happen? And I don't know that I necessarily have a good answer for that, and other than, okay, the things that you don't like happening, what if you take it the other way? And my answer usually is because God gives people choices. You can either choose to do the right thing or you can choose to do the bad thing. And it's like, well, why doesn't God stop people from making bad choices? Well, what if, you know, do you want God to stop you from making good choices? I mean, do you want God not to give you choice? That's the best answer I can come up with. I don't know if it's a good one or not, but anyhow. But even there, you can't necessarily answer every question they have, but you can tell them why you believe, how God has made a difference in your life, what your life was like before you came to know Jesus, and how your life has changed and for the better because you are a follower of Jesus. You know, it's interesting that Mark's gospel, we're talking about serving like Jesus. Jesus, again, is our example. And in Mark's gospel, he talks about how he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a sacrifice for many. In Luke's gospel, his stated purpose was to seek and to save those who are lost. And in the gospel of John, Jesus describes himself as sent by God in multiple passages, that he understood that he's here to serve. He's here to serve his heavenly Father, and Jesus says, the things I say, I'm just telling you the things I'm hearing from my Father. That I wasn't sent to be served, I was sent to serve and to give my life, really in a sense for the sake of the kingdom of God. And if we're truly to be followers of Jesus like him, we too must serve. We must have both the witness and the witness. We must both be and do. You know, and James, the half-brother of Jesus, would probably give a very hearty amen to that thought. Listen to his challenging teaching from the second chapter of his letter. James 2, beginning at verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see your brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And there's part of me that goes, ouch. Not only can we say it, we've got to do it. We've got to follow it with actions. So let's not simply tell others what we believe. Let's show it by our actions. Don't simply be involved. Be committed to serving the Lord by doing the good things he has planned for us. Now in your bulletin, there's a survey. And I'm going to have a song play here in just a moment after we pray. Just play it kind of quietly in the background if you would, Brendan. Neat song, With Every Act of Love, if you're familiar with that song. But I want you to prayerfully consider this list. One of the things we're truly looking at as elders and leaders is try and burrow down deep again, dig deep again, and see what does God have for us as a congregation. This last year in particular has been a very, very trying year. And kind of coming out of, hopefully, post-COVID. I think we're still kind of a pre-post-COVID, but we're slowly working towards that. And as we're looking, okay, as things begin to open up again, what has God called us to be to this community? What can we do better to better reach people in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And those that God brings to us, how can we better disciple them and help them grow as followers of Jesus? And it means that we're going to have to use those gifts and abilities that God has given us. For some of us, it may be stretching a little bit and saying, okay, I can serve in this way. Maybe for some of us it might be even stepping into new roles that you haven't filled before. But I'm going to ask you to look through this list, check all that apply. I'm going to ask you to put your name on it, and either you can set it on the table or in the back, or you can hand them to me. So that I have an idea, because I know some of your gifts, abilities, just over time and getting to know you. But there may be things that I've missed that as we're looking towards this and planning towards this, that, you know, I can look here and say, oh, well, this is something. One of the things we're hoping, at least I'm hoping, I haven't really talked to the fellows about it yet, but I miss that for these months we've not been able to have prayer with people up front here. I want that ministry to start up again. So I need to know people that feel comfortable praying for others and that feel like this is something that God has gifted you to do and called you to do. So we can start that team up again. There are just other things that we're looking and we're going, okay, this will help me know. Oh, this is something God's laid on this person's heart. They would be a good place to start in talking about as we look for this. So we're going to play this song after I pray. And then I want you to fill this out. Now, understand, you're not committing yourself to, you know, 30 years of working in the nursery by doing this. This is just something to help myself and the leadership team here figure out, okay, as we look ahead and plan, here are folks that have the sense that this is how God can use them. And to know and to help us be able to better hear from the Lord and know what direction to take. Jesus, thank you that you came to save us, to show us what it is to be a child of God by serving your heavenly Father faithfully, that knowledge that you were sent by him. And Jesus, you said that as the Father sent you, you send us. Lord, I love that thought that came out as I was studying the witness. Lord, I love being with you and spending time with you. But Lord, I also want to be your witness. So Lord, in these days ahead, should you tarry, may you help us and stir our hearts, especially as we listen to your voice and sense that direction you have for us as a church body. These are the things we need to be pursuing. These are the ministries that need to go forth, and that, Lord, even now you will begin speaking to people's hearts and preparing them to step into those places of ministry. Lord, for some of us, that's going to be a big stretch. Maybe feeling, Lord, I have a sense I could do this, but I don't know if I'm comfortable doing this. But Lord, they would just simply listen to you now. As they check the things off on this list, it's not an all-inclusive list, Lord, but it gives us a place to start. And then days ahead, that, Lord, we would not only be with you, but that we would serve you, that others would see you as we do the good things that you've called us to do. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you that, as this song says, that with every act of love, we get to be a doorway that people get to see you. Thank you, Lord.